are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. We're going to program to put some money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Television Network. We've got a full house this afternoon. Dave Malinsky will join us straight from the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. Donnie Wrightside joins us from South Philadelphia. Coach Nick joins us from Los Angeles, California. We're talking football and we're talking basketball on the program today. Thursday, Thanksgiving games. We've got three games on tap. One of them is very important, the Minnesota Vikings and the Detroit Lions. Critical contest. Vikings playing great football right now. Jim Caldwell's never lost a Thanksgiving Day game since he's been a head coach of the Detroit Lions. And that's shocking because the Lions used to always lose on Thanksgiving. They've won the last three. Minnesota. And in fact, actually, the Lions have beaten the Vikings the last three times they've played as well. So we'll break that game down. Never too early to start talking NFL football. Week 12 starts early this week. Dallas Cowboys, J.J., he says the Cowboys quit on Sunday night. And as somebody that watched that football game, it's hard to disagree with his assessment. I think the Chargers are going to beat the Pokes on Thursday. And the nightcap, well, the nightcap kind of sucks. It's the Giants and the Redskins. But we'll get to that as well. Just a little bit. One game in the NBA, three games in the NHL. You know, this is a great time of the year to be a sports fan, yet this is the first day in a while. The board's kind of crappy. We got a crap game in the NBA. We got three games in the NHL. And really, we got a million college basketball games, but they all kind of blow as well. It's not a great day for betting purposes. Doesn't mean that we don't have some plays for you, but it's not the sexiest day that we've had yet. So we pick up the pieces following Monday Night Football. Let's get right down to business. We've talked a lot this year about the NFL season being the strangest season that we can recall. It's probably the worst season that we can recall from quality of play, yet it's not the players' fault. You know, NFL players are more talented. They're faster, stronger, and better than they've ever been, all right? The worst team today would kick the crap out of the best team from 20 years ago, 30 years ago. You know, that's just the reality of the situation. But the coaching and the management decisions have been at an all-time low. There's a lot of Bozo the Clowns, man, that are in power right now in the National Football League. You know, look at the Miami Dolphins. We've gone over this a million times. How do you know? Good idea trading Jay Ajayi. You know, Jay Ajayi's biggest crime was he tried to score a touchdown every time he touched the ball. Adam Gase can't have that. He can only have a piece of crap overpaid quarterback like Jay Cutler. The Buffalo Bills. Everything's fine for the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo Bills are 5-2. Let's trade Marcell Dareus in the middle of the season. You know what? Even though we're in the playoffs right now, you know what would be a good idea? Let's bench our quarterback. Despite the fact that the quarterback's got 10 touchdown passes, only 3 interceptions all year long, to put in some punk-ass kid named after a Seinfeld character who has, you know, threw more interceptions in the first half than Taylor did all season long. I guess Taylor sucks, though, right? It's all his fault. You know, we can go down the list, man, but it's really starting to piss me off. And Richard Sherman, now that Richard Sherman's injured, he's got time to tweet about the rest of the league. And he's a great Twitter follow, actually. Although he did think the Cowboys could beat the Eagles on Sunday, but so did I. But I was drunk. Were you drunk, Sherman? But with that being stated, Sherman's Twitter feed's a great read right now. He's watching games and tweeting about stuff. So he's ripping the Buffalo Bills, saying how stupid they are. And, you know, we talked about how, you know, the NFL, he loves the NFL because it exposes people under fire from personnel decisions. Essentially stating that he likes seeing these NFL coaches get exposed for overthinking. Yeah, and Richard Sherman was bang on. Normally I'd say, you know what, Sherman, shut the hell up and worry about your own team. But Richard Sherman is bang on. The NFL management is incompetent. It starts with the league itself all the way down to the clowns that run these freaking teams. And even though Richard Sherman's calling everybody else out, I'm not so sure Richard Sherman's going to call his own Seattle Seahawks out for probably what is the worst signing of the year. Like at this point in time, how much more do they need to see from the Blair Walsh project? This thing is scarier than a damn movie, man. All right? In what world did you believe that Blair Walsh was a good person to replace Stephen Hoschka? So you have one of the best kickers in the league. So you lose him. I get it. You don't want to pay a kicker a ton of money. I totally get it. Okay, so you let Hoschka go. Let's see. Who do we replace him with? How about that kid that missed that chip shot that choked in that playoff game a couple of years ago that we beat? How about we sign him? Blair Walsh has already cost the Seattle Seahawks the Redskins game. And listen, it's a 52-yarder. It's not a lock. It's not a guarantee. But I don't know if I've ever seen a 52-yarder fall short before. You know, guys will drill it left, drill it right. And then Blair Walsh says after the game, in hindsight, I probably should have driven it a little bit harder. You think? Like, I don't, like, if you don't know that before. Now, listen, what about Pete Carroll's decision to go for a fake field goal at the end of the first half? Yeah, because running 17 yards in between the tackles is really going to work, coach. You know, stupidity. Sheer freaking stupidity across the board. But the only, you know, the only solace you can take out of this is Seattle won't go to the playoffs because they're going to be in a bunch of other close games down the stretch, and you know that Blair Walsh isn't going to hit the kick. How the hell is it that Santos little helper, Santos, great kicker, Santos. What does Santos do? I don't understand. Santos like blackballed from the league or something like that. Finally gets signed by the Chicago Bears. Santos is a million times better than Blair Walsh is. I don't want to be a jerk and pick on Blair Walsh, but Blair Walsh sucks, man, and I'm tired of costing him money, all right? He's costing me money. He's costing everyone money. I had the Seattle Seahawks. The Seahawks did everything right at the end of that football game. They were going to come back if they didn't have that loser kicker. But I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. I respect the New England Patriots, but the New England division that the Patriots play in. The fact of the matter is, I think there's like, you know, a handful of people that know what the hell they're doing in the National Football League, and it's starting to piss me off. You know, they would rather not call a play because they know better. They would rather blackball Kaepernick out of spite. They would rather watch their seasons collapse. The National Football League coaches, general managers, and scouts are a bunch of freaking clowns. Game Time Decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. We've got a great show lined up for you. We've got some great guests today. Coach Nick. Coach Nick hasn't been on since the NBA season has begun. One of the best in the business, bballbreakdown.com. Coach Nick joins us from Los Angeles. Donnie Wrightside will join us in a couple of minutes. Donnie, Dave Malinsky, we're not going to throw these Mac games at Dave. I don't think Dave wants to talk about a Bowling Green football game this evening. Man, it's an ugly card tonight, guys. Like I said, Miami, Ball State, Kent State, Akron, Bowling Green, Eastern Michigan. We got a million college basketball games, and there's really nothing overly sexy on the board there. NBA basketball, one game. NHL hockey, three games this evening. Not the most glamorous slate today on November the 21st, but it's always glamorous breaking it down with the professor. You can read his daily column on the front page of sportsbookreview.com. Dave Malinsky joins us. Dave, always a pleasure. How you doing?
Actually, Gabe, quite good. And if people want to read Point Blank today, there is talk about one of the MAC games tonight. I think there's a little hidden value. Some of those motivations, when you get to the final game of the season, if you have one team that still wants to bring it and another team that's already packed up their uniforms in their locker room, you can find an edge. You'll get that out of today's Point Blank.
And is it Eastern Michigan? Because they're a 4-7 team that haven't quit.
Yeah, the fact that they didn't quit, because Eastern Michigan had literally the worst six-game stretch in the history of college football. And they went 0-6, and in regulation, they were outscored by 10 points. So if you're only outscored by 10 points over six games in regulation play, how do you lose every time? They lost half of them in overtime. It's a case of a good team that didn't have the depth for that finishing kick. But you know what, Gabe? They never quit. They've won a couple of games since that stretch. They keep working hard. They keep competing hard. I love the coach. I think you get a real good effort from them tonight. And all you have to do to Bowling Green tonight, hit him in the mouth a couple of times, I think they'll go down and not get back up.
Dave Malinsky dabbing in the MAC this evening. So me and Dave were talking last night during this Monday night football game. And, you know, one of the reasons why I like the Seattle Seahawks in this game last night, despite all the injuries that they had, was the fact that they generally find a way to win games at home. They will themselves to victory. 42-7 since 2012 on this football field. And the Atlanta Falcons, generally, recently, since the Super Bowl, have found ways to blow leads and collapse late in football games. Well, the Atlanta Falcons did collapse late in the football game last night. And the Seattle Seahawks did everything with the stop, the late touchdown, the two-point conversion, getting the football back. Everything sort of fell into place. But, oh, yeah, the Seattle Seahawks thought it would be a good idea to sign a dude that missed a chip shot that gave them a game. For the life of me, I do not understand this Blair Walsh signing. I didn't at the time. I don't now. He cost them the Redskin game a couple of weeks ago, and I get 52 yards. You know, is it a lock? And I don't want, you know, that's one play in a game. The Seattle Seahawks put themselves in that position. But at the same point in time, in today's day, Dave, in today's NFL, the margin of victory is so slim. It's so hard to win a football game. I just don't understand why they think this is the guy for them to be kicking field goals.
It shows you who the other candidates might be. And that's a big part of it. If they thought he was the best of a bad lot left available. But, you know, it was an interesting game. It was probably one of the worst games we've seen from Pete Carroll. And I'm going to use that as a handicapping point. There were some bad decisions. There were some awkward gambles. But is this Carroll's way of telling us something? Is he saying, you know what? My team isn't as good as it used to be. I'm going to have to do something against the grain if I'm going to win with this bunch. Didn't work out for him last night, but that might have been Carroll assessing his team, saying, wow, I need to do something to get this group to win.
Do you think that Steve Sarkisian and the Falcons offense figured something out and they're starting to get into a rhythm right now, or was that a byproduct of two-thirds of the Legion of Boom being out?
You know, it's Dallas without Sean Lee last week. It's Seattle with the weakened secondary this week. I mean, now that you look at it, look at Atlanta-Dallas, and then look at Philadelphia-Dallas, and you see that Atlanta really didn't do all that much. Falcons didn't do that much last night, 279 yards, only 4.8 yards per play. They took advantage of what was given to them, so the offense was efficient in taking advantage of situations, but they really weren't dynamic last night. But sometimes, Gabe, it's not so much what we think about the teams. It's what they think about themselves.
Exactly.
And if the Falcons got on the plane last night thinking, we're back, baby, we've won two in a row, you'll see a different energy this week.
And also they're thinking, you know, yeah, we might have collapsed, but ultimately they're not thinking that. They're thinking they won a game and they got luck late in a football game. Because as you stated, perception is reality. It shouldn't be, but it is. So as you stated, you know, and they're going back home on the plane thinking, we survived, we won the game, it doesn't matter how, and we get a Tampa Bay Buccaneer football team this week. And Seattle are very fortunate that they can stop the bleeding because they get the 49ers this week.
That matters. You know, Seattle gets that window against San Francisco, which they badly need, but look at this closing stretch. Home against the Eagles, at Jacksonville, home against the Rams. That's a real difficult three-game stretch that Seattle has ahead. So look for them to take the San Francisco game a lot more seriously this week than a lot of teams do when playing the 49ers. This is not the week for Seattle to coast. This is a game they absolutely must have.
Larry Lang, 6.5 at San Francisco. Falcons are tentatively 8.5-point favorites against the Bucs. Right now, so we've got Turkey Day football, and 48 hours from now, we'll just be past the half, Dave. Vikings and Lions, massive football game here. Vikings now 8-2, can pretty much nail down the division title with the win here. Trying to keep pace with the Philadelphia Eagles, potentially, to steal home field advantage away from them. You know, Minnesota can get home field, but lock in home field all the way through. They're riding a six-game win streak. Lions have now won three straight. And, you know, Dave, growing up over the years, generally the Detroit Lions, even with Barry Sanders, used to always lose the Thanksgiving Day game. Since Jim Caldwell's gotten there, they're actually 3-0. He hasn't lost one of these games. So this is his fourth year. He's won three of them.
The markets are still a step behind on Detroit. I wonder if maybe it's time to rethink Caldwell Stafford a bit. In that, in the Caldwell era, and I connect Caldwell Stafford, joined at the hip on this, they're 17-9 in games decided by 6 points or less. Now, that is not genuinely a skill category. Usually, close games are a bit random. The teams that do too well regress. The teams that do too poorly will get some breaks along the line. But they've done it so many times, because one of the things that Detroit has done, and we saw it again in Chicago on Sunday, the last 2 years, when they've had the score on the final possession to win a game, that's what they've done. So there's a little bit of character. Maybe there's a little bit of design there. But I think this Minnesota 3 is just a little bit high. Yeah, the Vikings were terrific in the second half Sunday. One of the best halves of football any team has played all season, considering the opposition. But this Minnesota minus 3 is a little bit high. Going to probably have some Detroit in pocket.
You know, Dave, the Detroit Lions, since that football game on the Sunday night against the Pittsburgh Steelers, remember when they had the ball inside the red zone 5 times? They only ended up getting 2 field goals out of it inside the 5 3 times, got 3 points out of that. Since then, the offense has clicked a little bit more. You know, they haven't played great teams along the way, but if you add it all up, the Detroit Lions are 7-3 to the over on the season right now. Total's a little low right now as well. It's really hard to bet an under in today's NFL, Dave, but there's short weeks already. Players already don't like that Thursday night game as it is. Now you're talking about Thursday morning game, Dave. What's your quick take on the total of this contest?
Yeah, always difficult to try to project points when it's a division game where the teams know each other. And when they played the first time, it was Detroit 14-7 at Minnesota. So they know each other inside out, which aids the prep for the quick turnaround. My ratings show the total is supposed to be 45. It's out there at 44.5. It's not even close to finding an edge with that.
No, but at the same point in time, 24-21, I got to believe that the winning team gets into the 20s into this football game. The question is, do both teams get into the 20s?
Man, that's your hard call. And keep in mind, that first game that was 14-7, it was 14-7 midway through the third quarter. Nothing happened the rest of the way. You don't find many 0-0 fourth quarters in competitive games in the NFL. That's what these teams threw at each other the first time.
I had the Vikings in that game. It was frustrating. They turned the ball over in the red zone, I think, twice. Cowboys and Chargers. Jay Ajayi says the Cowboys quit on Sunday night. Alshon Jeffrey said it was the easiest game that they played against the Cowboys. You know, are the Cowboys ready to pitch the tent, Dave? You know, you talked about this a couple of weeks ago, about teams sort of quitting earlier in the season. I think this will sort of be their last stand. The question is, do they have enough? And it's pretty clear, it's just, you know, we blindly bet this. If Sean Lee isn't in the lineup, they can't stop anybody. Now without Elliott, without Tyron Smith, Jerry Jones is the Dallas Cowboys. And I don't know, it shouldn't be a distraction, but I think it is. You know, he's at war with the NFL right now. They're leaking videos of him making him look bad. He's trying to get Goodell fired, and he's not going to win that contest. They're not making the playoffs. They know they're not. And, Dave, you looked at the numbers as far as Dak Prescott is concerned. Dak's anything but a rookie of the year, MVP type, like he was last year, this year, right now, without the players around him.
No, he's looked ordinary, and if you want to have fun with numbers, those last 2 games, without Elliott and without Tyron Smith, his passer rating is 55.1. To understand that, DeShone Kizer is 54.0. The only quarterback in the NFL worse for the full season than Prescott's been the last 2 weeks is Kizer. Brett Hundley, his passer rating is way above the last weeks of Prescott. Hundley's at a 63.3. So he has looked ordinary. The thing is, the Cowboys really did quit in the second half Sunday night. They came out and played hard early. As long as they were still in the game, they played hard. Once they couldn't win it anymore, all the air went out.
Now, and Garrett even quit. Even the coach quit as well. That's the thing. It wasn't all just the players. Garrett, you can tell Garrett's mind was drifting, and he was realizing this isn't going to end well this year. You can just sort of see it. You can just read the body language, Dave. You know, they were running the ball when they were down. They weren't even throwing the ball anymore.
Yeah, when a team gets wounded, though, when they see in the media, when people are accusing them of quitting.
I know.
Sometimes that's when teams get dangerous.
Look at the Giants last week against the Chiefs.
That's it. So that pride element could come into play that, Yeah, I could see the Chargers if they weren't underdog here, but now that the money is saying the Cowboys, now that the Chargers have moved to the favorites role, this one gets a little bit dangerous now. I don't want any part of it at the current price.
So since Elliott's suspension, Dave mentioned the quarterback rating of 55 for Dak Prescott. They've been outscored 64-16 in the last two football games. And the Chargers are 4-6 right now. But if you look at their schedule, you know, they host the Browns and the Redskins after this. They can get back in the picture here in a pretty mediocre AFC right now. And the Chargers are used to this, Dave. You know, this is Phillip Rivers' MO. He doesn't tap out late in the season. This is what they do. Phillip Rivers has been one of the best bets on in the month of December over the years. Yeah, I think the Chargers still think they've got an outside shot at the playoffs here with the schedule that they have.
Yeah, and think about how much of an energy boost they get from the blowout of Buffalo. They got a lot of guys off the field early. And that's the sort of win the Chargers haven't had much of at all recent years.
The early Christmas gift that we decided to give to L.A. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Enjoy the holidays.
Get off the field, come in a little bit fresher. So the energy will be good for the Chargers. I just don't want them at this price point. This one has moved a little bit too far. There's a danger zone for that one right now. Did the Cowboys hit bottom on Sunday? Because not only an embarrassing loss, but when teams have an embarrassing loss in primetime in front of the national cameras, that's when they do tend to bounce a little better the following week. They deal with that embarrassment.
We don't have to spend too much time on this next game. It is meaningless. The Redskins are done, even at 4-6. They're not going to get back in this. Redskins have played hard this year. Some decisions didn't work out for them. Terrell Pryor brought absolutely nothing to the table. That surprised me. I thought he would fit right in with that offense. He didn't. Now he's out for the year. They announced the running back, Chris Thompson, out for the year as well. Now, I ask you, Dave, so the New York Giants were nationally mocked and, you know, severely mocked. People wondering about McAdoo's future with the football team. Players ripping, you know, the old anonymous quotes in the post. Players literally walking out of practice. I mean, it was as bad as it could get. But they dug down deep. They won the football game. They acted like they won the Super Bowl after the game. How do they respond now? You know, do they keep this going? And now they're like, all right, let's just go out and have some fun right now. And, you know, is the number too high here with the Redskins?
I think the number is too high because that's a difficult game psychologically for the Redskins to recover from. When you've got a 15-point lead in the fourth quarter, that's dangerous. Now, part of why that got away, their defense looked gassed at the end of the game. New Orleans went right down the field so easily on those last two drives. Tired defense doesn't recoup on a short week. So I think the Giants are competitive here. I think you see a big change in energy. It's just hard for the Redskins to reach back now because they were on a high early in that fourth quarter against New Orleans. You're thinking, okay, we're turning our season now. We're going to win this. We're back in the hunt. That's a crash moment. Teams can struggle to rebound from that type of crash.
Dave, we won't speak again before rivalry takes place. Ohio State 11.5 at Michigan, Alabama and LA 4 at Auburn. And a game that not a lot of people are going to talk about, but UNLV at Nevada. And, you know, what a comeback. Epic win by the Rebels last week against New Mexico. I was watching and I had a piece of them. And I was like, these guys are hell-bent on a bowl game. They need to win that game. And then they go up there to Reno to take on Nevada, and this isn't a very good Nevada football team this year. Quick take on rivalry week, either the big ones in Ohio State, Michigan, Alabama, Auburn, or UNLV in Nevada.
Yeah, I think Ohio State is sending out there a little bit too rich, that you rarely ever get a team as good as Michigan's defense is taking this at home. There are shops in Vegas right now, you can take Michigan plus 12. You don't get that class of defense plus 12 at home ever. In college football, they're going to struggle to score. They're going to struggle to make first downs, but they are right in the hunt in that one. So we'll have some Michigan in pocket. I think UNLV goes up to Reno and gets a win. You can run on the Reno defense. So if we could take plus 3 with the team, it's got a lot of confidence and a lot of energy and can go out and run for 250 yards, that plus 3 has got a good chance to hold up.
I think the Alabama number is more than fair. I get it. Auburn are good, but I don't think they're on Bama's level.
That is a tough one because here's the difference this year. This is the one time that now there's pressure on the Alabama offense to perform. Most Bama games, the offense just has to go out and manage things. This is the one time that Auburn defensive front is going to stand very strong at the line of scrimmage. So there's pressure on the Bama offense to make some plays. That's going to be the interesting component in that matchup. Most times, Bama's defense controls matters to where their offense isn't called on for that much. This time, their offense has to produce something.
Dave, the bullpen's telling me we got 1 minute here. Last night, I the game went way over. We did well last night. We had the Utah Utes. We closed out strong in the late night hours, Dave. The Michigan game went over. North Carolina, we hit in the second half. But unfortunately, we lost the money line parlay. Fun basketball game, though. So I ask you quickly just here, LSU, big win last night. They're getting 8.5 against Notre Dame. What's your take on this game tonight? Notre Dame played Chaminade last night. Can LSU momentum keep this going, or does the high wear off after last night?
I think they get exposed by a fundamentally more sound team. LSU's still a work in progress. They're better coached than they've been in quite some time. Will Wade is the best coach they've had on that campus in a while, but I don't know if the kids are far enough into his system just yet to play a team with the experience level Notre Dame brings. And, of course, Notre Dame gets the advantage of yesterday only having been a mild scrimmage.
Dave Malinsky, you can read his column over at sportsbookreview.com. It's right there on the front page. It's great stuff, and he talks about tonight's football game, as he alluded to, Eastern Michigan and Bowling Green this evening. Dave, it's always a pleasure, my man. Thanks for the time.
Hey, good luck, everybody.
Dave Malinsky with us. Right, we'll take a quick break. We'll get a different perspective. We'll talk some college football. We'll run through these games in the MAC tonight. Talk some NFL football. Donnie Wrightside coming up next.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. All right, listen, we ask you people right now, yes, we are going to talk about Miami and Ball State, Kent State and Akron, and Bowling Green and Eastern Michigan. Don't change the channel, all right? Unless you're a degenerate gambler, I know this probably doesn't interest you too much, but we're going to blast through this, and then we're going to talk NFL football with Donnie Wrightside, who's killing the NFL board. Let's bring in Donnie Wrightside. You can check him out on SBR YouTube on a daily basis, now at 10 a.m., Donnie Wrightside. You can also check me and Donnie out every Sunday as well as we break it down. What's going on, Donnie?
Not too much, man. Good to be back on the air. We do have some action tonight, Gabe. There is some money to be won in these little conferences that average about 300 to 400 people in the stands. So we'll have some fun with it.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that average 300 to 400 people in the stands because Kent State are averaging 5 points a game on the road. Literally. They're averaging five. It's the last road game. They're scoring a whopping 5 points per game on the road. But no, listen, I love the Mac. You know, I crushed the Mac last week, and it's hit or miss with me in the Mac. I used to own it. Last week, we really, really did well. We really got in the zone last week in the Mac. So let's keep it going here this evening. Not the most glamorous Mac board tonight, but nevertheless, Miami laying 18 at Ball State. Total 55.5 in this football game. Ball State are brutal, but I'll tell you what. Since they gave up so many points, they're 8-3 to the over on the year. That's one trend that catches my eye about this Cardinal team.
No, yeah, I mean, Gabe, this, but if you're going to look at all three games, there's not really any marquee matchups in this one, but this is probably the bottom rung of all three. Some of the easiest stuff to look at in this football game. Miami of Ohio is a decent football club. Chuck Martin's a good head coach. They like to play defense. Ragland's back. They have two capable running backs, a couple capable wide receivers. Not much going for Ball State. The one thing that you like, though, if Jack Miles can play in this football game for Ball State, at least he's going to be able to move the football a little bit more than Plitt, the younger version of himself, you like to say. They've run through four quarterbacks in the MAC this year. Haven't haven't been very good. The one thing you're right, Gabe, when you look at the over-under in this football game, sitting at around 55, 55 and a half, depending on where you're shopping around, the one thing that sticks out, it doesn't even matter who Ball State's opponent is, Gabe. Last five games in the MAC, give up 56, 58, 56, 63, and 40. No matter what happens in this football game, people, no matter what side you like, it's almost like just say, you know what? I'm going to take the over because one team's going to hang 50 on Ball State.
I do. That's the thing, too. You know, why overcomplicate it? People want picks for everything, but I agree. I would hit the over if I had to play one of these games because Ball State can't stop anybody. They're giving up 41.8 points per game. Yet, I don't know if I'm just stupid or I'm still hung over from the weekend, Donnie, but I think Ball State plus the points to play tonight, I just think it's too much for Miami to be laying.
Yeah, no, I would agree because when you're looking at teams in the MAC, you know, if you're going to go back to Northern Illinois or even Toledo, they're going to be able to run the offense and run it the way they want to. They're much more up-tempo. The one thing you'll take a look at Miami-Ohio game, I don't want to say more of a pro style because it is the MAC. They're going to run shotgun. They're going to run read option, but they're never in a hurry to get points. If you look at their games, you know, 27-24, 24-14, you know, those type of ball games is what they want to play. But when you counterbalance that with how bad Ball State is, where if you just run simple read options, you get, you know, 10 to 12 yards per clip running the football. You're right. It is a lot of points. There is a little bit of weather concerns tonight, some precipitation in the air, a little bit of wind out there. But overall in this football game, I don't like to lay that many points because Miami Ohio doesn't like to press the issue. But I just would lean on the over just because Ball State just generally gives up a lot of points, Gabe.
I look at the numbers here. So look, Ball State give up 41 points per game and Miami of Ohio score 24. So if you look at the way they work out the totals, we sort of meet in the middle on this, right? You know, so Miami are an automatic 30, automatic 35, maybe automatic 40. The question is, if Ball State can cover, what can they give you? I mean, Miami of Ohio's defense isn't great. They're giving up nearly 26 points a game as well. All right, Kent State and Akron. So the Akron Zips, in fact, tonight, the Akron Zips are the only team playing that are actually going bowling, Donnie. These are the only guys that still are playing for something.
No, you're right. When you look at Akron, Gabe, I mean, who would have thought a couple weeks back or even the beginning of the season, they weren't looked at to being, you know, one of the power MAC football schools. But let's get it straight tonight, Gabe, versus Kent State, you know, the opponent that you would want on a night like this, senior night, last home football game. And if you win, you're going to head Detroit and head down to Detroit and play in the MAC title game, which is exciting for those kids. But in the MAC, there's always a lot to question. What do you want to question about this, Gabe? Who's even going to be a quarterback for Akron? Woodson's been suspended the last 2 weeks. Cato Nelson has filled in fantastic. If I'm a better, I actually want Cato Nelson in this football game instead of Woodson. The offense looks smooth. It's almost like a mini version of the kid from Toledo coming through playing running back, read option, you know, electric arm.
Yeah.
He can move the football well. I know Woodson's a little bit more of a plotter, going to be a more steady hand at offense, but I would like to see if the younger kid got to play. But again, Woodson's a senior, last game. I wouldn't be surprised if Woodson does come out. Another common denominator in this one, Gabe, Kent State, not a very good football team, especially on the defensive side of the football. We know what they're going to give up on defense. Can Akron exploit it there? It's a big number for Akron. When we talk about value and making plays, Akron's usually the team, Gabe, getting 1, 2, 3, or 7 points. Now you're laying the 15 points and you're expected to win this football game, and a lot at stake for them to win this football game to head to the MAC title game.
Not a lot of room for error either for a team like Akron. It doesn't have an explosive offense. They only score 23 points per football game. They've been a big time under team on a year. And we mentioned it, no joke, guys. And another thing is, too, Akron just need the win. Bowden's going to be happy whether they win by 3, 2, or 1, or 21. As you stated, the stakes are high. They just need the W in this game. But Kent State can't score. Kent State can't move the ball. They're averaging 12 points a game during the season, 12.6 to be exact. And they're literally averaging 5.3 points per football game on the road this year, guys. Yeah, it's been an ugly situation for them this year. I think a tough football game, but I think Akron basically shuts them down, shuts them out, probably wins like 21-0, something ugly, low scoring.
Yeah, Gabe, you know what's interesting about this football game, too, as we head down? The one team has a lot to play for, Akron. It's always interesting, and you might want to throw this into your, you know, capping knowledge or how you might look at a game. Kent State has nothing to lose. It's arguably, even if their head football coach is going to come back next year, they don't score a lot of points on the road. Here's what I'm going to look for tonight in one of these. Probably the best bet game tonight for me would be an over 46, and I know Kent State doesn't score. The atmosphere in the stadium, I shouldn't say atmosphere, the overall wind conditions, the rain, not much here. It's actually the best conditions for all three of these MAC football games tonight. But let's see a lot of fake punts. Let's see a lot of halfback passes, wide receiver passes. Kent State has nothing to lose. If it's 4th and 4 on their own 40-yard line, why not go for it? What do you have to lose to try to upset Akron here? That's the way I think you're going to generate maybe an extra touchdown this one, Gabe.
So you think you could get there. Just creep over the number, the low number. Yeah.
Yep.
All right, so Bowling Green in Michigan, Eastern Michigan. We just had Dave Malinsky on earlier. Normally Dave doesn't dabble in the in these conferences too much, but he likes Eastern Michigan tonight. And, you know, Eastern Michigan not going to a bowl game, although if not enough teams get to 6, a couple of 5s could get in. I think they go by 5 wins, and then your grade, the school's grade average type of deal. So I'm not saying Eastern Michigan's going bowling or anything like that. But with that being stated, Donnie, this football team didn't quit. You know, they were 3-6. They didn't quit. They've known they're not going to be going bowling for a little while, yet they show up on a weekly basis. They've lost a ton of close football games this year, and this team's got some pride, man. Final home game of the year for these kids, laying 13.5 against the Bowling Green team that's tapped out a long time ago. Bowling Green, big-time money burners, 2-9 straight up and 2-9 against the spread this year. Eastern Michigan, big money makers, an ATM machine, 8-3 against the spread, guys. But as we know, Donnie, Eastern Michigan didn't get to be 8-3 against the spread by being 13.5-point favorites very often.
No, you're right. They played a lot of close games, a lot of hard-fought games that they lost down to the wire. A much better football team overall, Gabe, as you stated, than what their actual record
is. They deserve better.
If we take a look at Bowling Green overall, the last 4 out of 5 games, the reason I say 4 out of 5 is I'm going to take the Kent State game out of the equation with the way the defense played. That was a 44-16 winner. The same common denominator, Gabe, in the MAC. Let's take a look. They played Ohio, gave up 48. Played Northern Illinois, gave up 48. Played Buffalo, gave up 38. And played Toledo, gave up 66 points in that game. Now, Eastern Michigan, when they're playing up to competition in the MAC, it's generally not a super high-scoring game because they do have a very good defense. But let's take a look at the one game, Gabe, where they play down to competition or play down with competition, Ball State. They end up hanging 56 points on Ball State, a comparable defense from Ball State over to Bowling Green. The one thing I like about this football game, it does seem high, Gabe, at 59.5, but Bowling Green's going to give you a lot of swings at the plate, and they're talented on offense. Daigie now the starting quarterback, Teo Redding at wide receiver, Miller at wide receiver, all capable, and two really good running backs with Cleveland and Clare. I think they're going to be able to score some points against Eastern Michigan's stout defense, but the one thing I know is going to happen, Eastern Michigan's going to put up points against Bowling Green because they're going to have probably an extra 1, 2, or 3 possessions in this football game just because of how fast Bowling Green goes.
You know, it's amazing, too. You mentioned about Kent State. Kent State can sort of play loose with house money. And similar situation, if you're Eastern Michigan and it's the last game of the year, you're not letting up. You're not taking the pedal off the metal. You're running that trick play. You're like, you know what? You know, let's let the quarterback do that thing he always wanted to do in practice. You know, it's one of those deals. We're not going to a bowl game. Let's have some fun tonight against a team that we can kick the crap out of. So, you know, I'm laying the points with Eastern Michigan, and I think it gets there as far as the total as well. Excuse me, I wouldn't be surprised if it was track meet. All right, we got to get out of here, Donnie. Time flew by. But Thursday, Thanksgiving, man, you and I talk about it all the time, with or without Sean Lee. J.H.I. says the Cowboys quit the other night. Jeffrey's talking about how easy it was to play the Pokes. I don't know. Do the Pokes bounce back? Or, you know, it seems like it's just too easy with the Chargers.
Yeah, Tyron Smith's going to give. Looks like he's going to be back. He was practicing. Sean Lee's not out, Gabe, and you're right. We'll make it quick. The same moniker. You can't back the Dallas Cowboys if Sean Lee's not going to be the centerpiece of your defense. I lean towards Chargers on Thanksgiving Day, Gabe.
Hey, Donnie, time flew by. It was always a pleasure. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. Thanks for the time. We'll speak later in the week.
Thanks, buddy. True professional. Love coming on the show. Let's do it again, buddy.
There's Donnie Wrightside with us. Always a pleasure, Donnie. Thanks for the kind words. We take a quick break. Coach Nick joins us. Great stuff with Nick always.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
All right, let's let's get right down to business. I always love talking hoops with Coach Nick, bballbreakdown.com. Great Twitter follow. Immediate analysis on a nightly basis from what's going on in the world of National Basketball Association. I don't think we've spoken to Coach since he joined us on opening day, actually. But Coach is a busy man. But we appreciate him joining us right now. Coach, it's been too long, but it's great to have you back, man. How you doing?
Oh, I am good. I am finally caught up, I think, with what's going on in the NBA after that early mid-October start. And I'm raring to go. We got a good game tonight.
Yeah, I thought that the Boston Celtics were going to be screwed after Gordon Hayward went down. Wow. I mean, 6-16 in a row right now. Kyrie scores 10 of his season-high, 47 points in overtime as the Celtics rally from 13 down in the fourth quarter to beat the Mavericks. This is a scary team. And what's real scary about this is Jaylen Brown just keeps getting, it's only going to get better and better and better and better and better. And Tatum's going to get better and better and better. So as a Raptor fan, I just want to smash my head, you know, on the table right now. Because the Raptors are playing good ball, Coach. You know, they're playing good ball. But what, you know, you got Philadelphia and these little monsters coming up right now. And that hype is real. I've been watching a lot of Sixers stuff. And they got the Celtics. It's like, oh, God. And I ask you right now, is it Boston in the finals against the Warriors?
I mean, as of today, there's no reason to believe that they're not going to beat the Cavs or anybody else in the final or in the Eastern Conference playoffs to get there. You know, here's a couple of things that are really important for them. They were pretty bad at rebounding last year, and they're now number one in the league in rebounding per game. It's a big step up for them. And they're also defending the three-point shot really, really well. Second or third in the league is in field goal percentage, something like that. And so those two things, independent of the fact that they're getting great play out of Kyrie on both ends of the floor, mean that they're going to be the team to beat. They have the athletes. They have the rebounding. They have ways to go at LeBron. But, you know, you can never count him out. But this is their best opportunity they've ever had in the LeBron era to beat him.
You're right. It upsets me because as a Celtic hater and a rap fan, I always had that to hang my hat on last year. Ah, they don't rebound the ball well. You know what I mean? That was like pick the weakness. Yeah, now they're number one. Just freaking great. But you know what? Something you said, I don't think people talk about this enough, and I don't think I've even emphasized this enough with my handicapping and my bets. In such a three-ball shooting league now, is the perimeter defense. You know, is closing out. Some teams do, some teams don't. And Boston, they got a lot of long, lanky guys, don't they? Jaylen Brown's long. Jason Tatum's long. That's really a big key to success in the modern NBA, isn't it? Defending the three and guarding that perimeter.
Oh, I know the Warriors coaching staff is very concerned about that when they play them because they're long. They do a lot of great pressure on the ball, and they're all required to close out and leave their feet on the shot. You'll watch it from wherever they are. Jaylen Brown does this funny thing where he'll jump like way, he doesn't quite get there, but he'll still jump in the air anyway because you can tell they're conditioned to simply try and whatever they can do to contest a shot in the air. And it's one of those things that Brad Stevens has got them doing. It's easy to coach, but not easy to get the execution of it.
Yeah.
Every guy to a man, even Al Horford is doing an amazing job closing out onto perimeter shooters. And you can see the results. I don't think it's random. I think it's not by chance. I feel like enough of the dedication to that will yield a lower three-point percentage and probably even more importantly, less field goal attempts per game.
Ben Simmons was a small betting favorite for Rookie of the Year before the year started. He's not a small favorite anymore. He's 14-1, minus 1,400. So put that in betting purposes, Coach. You'd have to put $1,400 on the table, and you'd get $100 back. So
That's not a great return.
Yeah, so in other words, they're just giving the trophy right now. But what's your take on this guy, and is he just going to continue to get better? What's your take when you watch Ben Simmons play?
I mean, Gabe, this guy is creeping up towards averaging a triple-double, and that is unheard of for anybody in their rookie year. I mean, as far as I could tell, I haven't gone back, but I'm pretty sure Oscar wasn't in his rookie year when he did it, and Russ either. So this kid's amazing. Without a jump shot, he is still lethal, and he's scoring, you know, 18 a game or so. He really is a special player. And there's no doubt this is his reward. He's won it. It's already his, no, without a question. And now it's just a question of does he get another assist or two a game and get up to that triple-double status? I think it's certainly possible as they continue to improve throughout this year.
A rookie that I liked a lot, and I brought him up with you when we talked about the draft, was Markkanen, a kid out of Arizona. A big fan of his. I liked him at Arizona. I watch a lot of college ball, Coach, and he's a real standout, real rarity, too. Not a lot of kids from Finland he just gets it, you know, and he's got that shot. He wasn't the most physical guy under the rim at Arizona, but that doesn't matter in the NBA. So he's the rookie that's really killing it. I like Kuzma's game. And Lonzo Ball, you're in L.A. Lonzo Ball is playing exactly the freaking way I thought he was going to play. And people are somehow surprised now. And I saw this. It's like Johnny Manziel. You got to be careful, man. When you get shot up by the media and you're that it guy and the celebrity it guy, they'll bring you down when they can. And now I'm seeing that sort of, well, they're surprised that he can't shoot. They're surprised that he's not playing defense. They're surprised about these things. And I'm thinking, how can you be surprised? How is this a surprise to you? You know, to me, he's playing exactly the way I thought he would. What about you?
Okay, let's pump the brakes a little bit. The kid's 20. He's a rookie. He's probably never had to go through any kind of adversity on the court before. So this is his first time, and his brother was facing 10 years in China. That could have been bothering him as well, which I don't want to give him excuses, but this is a young kid who's got a lot of things on his mind. I think the hate comes from his dad. You know, it's really too bad because he, I don't think, does as much to bring any of that heat, the hate on him.
Yeah.
But here's the deal. He was an elite shooter from three in college. There seems to be a statistical connection between that and the NBA usually. So either it's a matter of time until he gets it right and figures it out, or there's a couple things mechanically. I wouldn't mess too much with the hand part, but so I feel like that will creep up a little bit. But I've seen enough already from his passing and even from his defensive side, believe it or not, to show me that he is well on his way and just needs to figure out, get through this hurdle mentally, and then he'll get right back on track. There's enough evidence for me already that there's some really special stuff going on.
You know, and I agree. I've been impressed with the rebounds. I didn't expect him to be such a rebounding machine, actually. Okay, we've got to get out of here, unfortunately. So Bulls and Lakers tonight. You're not a betting man, but I am. And I don't often lay points with the Lakers the favorite, but, you know, the Bulls just don't have any firepower besides Markin, and I like the Lakers tonight.
Yeah, you got to go with the home team in this situation, I think. And even though Markkanen's probably got the best shot in the league, the way his form and his mechanics.
Wow.
Really impressed with him. And by the way, Chris Dunn's numbers don't jump off the page at you, but when I watched him in Phoenix the other night, different player, not the same player at all that he was in Minnesota. Much better, much more aggressive. The Bulls are on their way once they get Zach LaVine back.
Yeah, Zach LaVine got back. He's starting to practice. He's going to be back in mid-December. Coach, it's always a pleasure, my man. I wish we had more time. We'll definitely do it again. We won't take so long to get you back. We'll let you get do your holiday things. Safe travels and happy Thanksgiving.
You got it. Thank you. Talk to you soon.
There's Coach Nick, bballbreakdown.com. Time just flew by. Always a pleasure breaking it down with him. We'll come back with our plays of the day.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
Time for our plays of the day. Unfortunately, there's only one game in the NBA this evening. We've been killing the NBA so far this year. Real tough spot tonight. I'm going to lay the 5.5 points with the Lakers. I'm not going to stand here and tell you I love this game, but it's the game on the board, and whatever. I get paid to give you picks, so you know, let's go with the Lakers here. It's a lot of confidence, but I think the Lakers are the play. I think the game just creeps over the number at that 211. Give me the Vancouver Canucks as an underdog against a struggling Philadelphia Flyer hockey team right now. You don't want to lay a price with the Canucks as a favorite, but I like taking the Canucks as an underdog. I'll take the plus 45 cents and take my chances. I'm not going to be singing the blues this evening because the Blues are going to win. Let's lay it. We're going to lay it at 40 cents with the St. Louis Blues. Montreal Canadiens and Dallas Stars. I think this is a bad spot for the Montreal Canadiens. You know, Dallas Stars are 7-2 on their home ice. They lost the season opener to Vegas, so they're 7-1 since opening night on home ice. Make it 8-1. They win this game tonight. Man, we got some crap shit in the Mac tonight. Let's go Bowling Green, Eastern Michigan. We're going to lay the points with Eastern Michigan. I think the game goes over the number. We're going to lay the points with Akron in this game. I'm not going to mess with the total of this game, but we're going to lay the points with Akron. This, you know, Ball State, why am I doing this? Because I'm an idiot. I just don't think that Miami of Ohio should be favored by 18 points against anybody, even Ball State. It's the last game of the year. Give me Ball State plus the 18. Love the over in this football game. I think there's going to be a ton of points scored, man. Ball State gave up like 41 points a game. No reason it doesn't go over the number. Other than that, you're on your own. College basketball on my Twitter made a winners be yours.